From the 10th to the 16th of June, communities and organisations across Australia are promoting this year's campaign of encouraging practitioners to be male-friendly and assisting men to engage in regular conversations about their mental health. Across this campaign, experts have developed recommendations to improve our healthcare system when it comes to male suicide prevention strategies. CEO of Australian Men's Health Forum, Glenn Poole, discusses the importance of framing when speaking of male suicide. We tend to treat suicide as a mental health issue alone without accounting for the contributing social factors.
So it's difficult to pinpoint the actual specific increase, but what we can say is one of the key factors are things like relationship issues, money issues, work issues, and issues around drink and drugs. So those are tend to be the key factors that shape men's risk of suicide. And part of the issue we have is that we still tend to think of male suicide as purely a mental health issue in the very sort of clinical sense of it being about depression. When actually, whilst that is a factor, most people who have depression don't suicide, yet most male suicides are linked to one of those broader social factors like relationship, work, money, and turning to drink and drugs to cope.
Mental health experts have recognised that support services need to foster broader approaches that directly target individual circumstances, which therefore improves accessibility.
A guy who's just like maybe split up from his partner, he's got issues there, he's going to court, can't see the children, maybe has housing issues, money issues, is dealing with the loss of family. Doesn't say to himself, oh, I've got depression, I need to go and talk to a psychologist about depression. He says things like, what are my rights? What am I going to do about the housing? When am I going to see the kids? So if we're only talking about suicide and mental health in those terms of depression and anxiety, then it's no wonder that men won't engage with that. So what we need to do is recognise that we need to have a much broader approach that reaches out and addresses the needs of men. If men have issues with relationship or money or work, then we need to provide support around that rather than sitting around and wondering why more men aren't turning up to talk about depression and anxiety.
However, engagement with these support services are heavily reliant on male-centred drives, which is the premise for Men's Mental Health Week.
We know this from years of working with men. If you don't specifically say this service is for men or we really want to reach men, then you're less likely to engage men. So one example is for 20 years in Australia, we've had a great organisation that started in Coffs Harbour in New South Wales called Dads in Distress. And Dads in Distress support groups are available all over the country and they have a helpline. And they're really effective at engaging with dads at the point of separation. And their research shows that over half of those dads will be experiencing some kind of like suicidality. And they're really effective over time reducing that suicidality as they help support those men find the way forward to adjust with the very stressful issues and distressing issues that they're dealing with.
In partnership with Glenn Poole at Australian Men's Health Forum, Dr. Neil Hall, the Assistant Director of Men's Health Information and Resource Centre at Western Sydney University, implemented the Men's Health Week initiative to promote health and well-being across men.
We're working with some of the primary health networks, primarily in Western Sydney, and looking at the way that services are delivered, both in terms of opening hours. One of the big things about working with GPs and with health and support services is to try and get them to be thinking about when they are accessible. A lot of services, for example, are open during business hours. And clearly, for men who are working, hard to get to during business hours.
Dr. Hall speaks of the benefits in workplace policies that encourage the easy intervention of support services.
You know, there's a bit of a trend at the moment for construction sites, for example, to be bringing nurses on site to have free health checks, you know, initially just to do cholesterol and blood pressure and that kind of thing, but also that there's someone right there available on site that they can say, oh, well, actually, I'm having a bit of a hard time with this, and then they can then provide a bit of referral on to someone who can help them with that.
Despite all these initiatives, the fact still remains. Noticing when the men in our lives are struggling can often prove to be quite challenging. In this case, male friendships and male mentors are important points of intervention.
Men express their emotions in ways that are not necessarily familiar to their partners or to their family members, but perhaps are a little bit more familiar to their male friends. So their mates, you know, the men's shed movement, for example, has this phrase, we don't talk face-to-face, we talk shoulder-to-shoulder. And so that being able to get alongside another male and having incidental conversations, I think, is really useful. And we know from research that's come out of the United Kingdom that if a man has three good friends, he's likely to live 7 years longer than a man who doesn't. Yeah, so that's pretty staggering, really. And not just live longer, but have a better quality of life while he's at it.
One of the most damaging myths circulating public rhetoric when it comes to men's mental health is the phrase that men don't speak up.
We saw that, you know, in terms of suicide, for example, eight people a day commit suicide and six of those are male. But we also know that 80 to 85 men every day are contacting a support helpline. So the myth is that men don't talk and that men don't seek help. But we're actually finding that they are reaching out. I think we can acknowledge the effort that men do take to seek help.
Glenn Poole validates this point even further and goes on to state how our workplaces, schools and support services need to meet men halfway.
I've been travelling all around Australia this week, and one of the things that was said by a regional project this morning at an event I was at is that it's a myth that men don't talk, and it's a myth that men aren't interested in their health or their mental health. And that message we hear from people all around the country. So people actually work with men. They know that men do want to talk. They know that men do want to take care of their well-being. And the shift that we need to have is, let's stop saying that the problem is men. It's the problem that men don't talk or the problem that men don't want to get help. And let's have a conversation about how we listen to men and how we give help to men. And let's do that not just in our GP surgeries and in the mental health system, but let's do that in our schools, in our communities, in our workplaces. And let's not just have it be 1 week of the year during Men's Health Week. Let's have it be all year round.